Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again, with show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts, and I'm zooming in with Rosalie Brown. I'm actually down here in our Auburn office this morning. We just had our weekly managers meeting. And what are you up to?
Okay. So first, quit moving your head around because you're wireless.
There's a voice going all over the place.
Yeah. You're making me a little, I have vertigo right now. So I'm doing nothing.
You're zooming. So she's seeing my face move around in a very tiny screen.
I can see you and I can hear you. No, I'm doing nothing. What am I doing? Oh yeah. Okay. What I was just doing recently on, what's today? Today we record on Wednesday. So on Monday, I think I told you this, oh my gosh, like I volunteered to help a friend of mine flying in from out of state for one day to get some, you know, business done. And so yeah. I said, I don't work for a living. I'm going to volunteer as sacrifice, right? As tribute, right? So I'm like, I'll do it. I'll drive you around Southern California. Oh my gosh. drove all the way down close to San Diego, and which is kind of far, period. And then you add in traffic. And then that torrential rainstorm, you guys had it way worse in Northern California. But
Tail end of it at the end of the day.
Oh my God. Yeah. So it was like getting dark.
Move south. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then parts of the road, you couldn't see the road. And I was like, so I was doing this white knuckle thing. And so at one point I felt like my soul was leaving my body. Like what should have been like a 90 minute trip home. Cause I mean, I was kind of south of where I live. 90 minutes was like 3 hours. And I walked in, I walked in the door and I was like, you know, white as a sheet and just like, you know, just completely just out of it. And my daughter's like, are you okay? Do you need something? I was like, well, is it wrong to say a shot of whiskey? Like, can you get mom that bottle of Screwball, that peanut butter whiskey? I mean, it was so intense. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and see, that's what I think people
think. Did they make
any
advisories up there? Cause they advised us up here to stay off the road. It was nuts.
They might have advised us, but I'd already
you'd
committed
have ignored it anyway.
I already committed to my
and
thing.
It was a sunny California day, right?
Well, no, I mean, we did have rain, right? Like I woke up to rain and I was like, oh yay, rain, right? And I knew that everyone up north was getting like hammered and pummeled, but you know, it's just two totally different, like, you know, landscapes. I mean, like if you guys are getting hammered, it doesn't really mean anything down here. Most time we don't even see the rain. And so you know, I went from LA down into Orange County and the rain had stopped and it was kind of like this beautiful overcast cold day. We're kind of driving along the ocean. I was like, oh, this is great. And then went inland for a little bit and started to come, you know, head back north. And I was like, wait, what is happening? Like the road like washed away. I couldn't see anything. I was like, oh, so, I mean, it was, yeah. So what am I doing? I'm taking two days to recover.
It's been a crazy week. And Monday was a nutty time. It was great because we really needed the rain, and fire season's officially over now, which is fantastic because it was one of those scary years. And apparently, you know, we went through October without a northern wind fire. So we went through the fall for the first time since like 2017, I think I read, without a northerly wind driven bad fire. So that's great. We dodged that bullet. But yeah, it was a little scary because I know I went for a hike in Condon Park Tuesday and there's trees down, and then I didn't really do anything on Sunday. Monday did a little bit and saw all the damage and stuff. And yeah, a lot of trees, a lot of limbs, power line out on 49. They just fixed that yesterday on my commute. I saw that. It was crazy, but thank goodness we got it because we really needed it. And I'll take it. Outages. People have had power outages for like multiple days. And sorry for everybody out there that had to deal with that because that kind of stinks.
That's rough.
But hey, we do put in generators, so if you run into that problem, we can help you out.
I thought I would
backup generator, so you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Might be worth noting, right? Go ahead and grab that generator now. I mean, so like I saw I did see on Facebook the burn scar from the bear fire or Bear River fire, or I'm sorry, my terminology is wrong, but the,
I can't remember either now.
The scar was causing things to, like, trees to fall down, and, like, you know, evacuations were happening because of that. And I was like, oh God, you know, you just can't, you get it from the front side, you get it from the back side, you know, like it was a tough fire. And then the, what it does to the landscape, right? So you have this torrential downpour. So it's kind of, you know, one of those weird times where it's like, oh, like, grateful to be out of the fire danger, but man, sure hoping we have a mellow winter, right? Mellow.
We'll see. I can't remember where it's at, but it's like some parody on the news of the world, and we'll give you the news of the states that are on fire and the news of the states that are flooding. You know, it's like, this is what's going on these days, right?
And really, California, like, California hits both, right? Like, California hits both categories usually, but so that's. So I have had no big news other than, like, I survived the storm.
Driving around.
Driving around the storm. That was crazy. Stupid.
Yeah, my house is still standing. No floods. So, yeah, right? I'm pretty happy. No, we lucked out. Didn't have any power outages where we are in Grass Valley. So, whew. Managed to sit around and watch silly movies. Yeah.
You're actually lucky. Did you really? You're lucky that you got that. You kept your streaming, because a lot of times I know. Well, I mean, you're in a different part of town, but when I lived in on Banner Mountain, man, you get the first inkling of power outage, and there goes your internet, your streaming, everything. Oh, yeah. So, talk about like, you know, your whole world crashing.
We had power and internet the whole day, so yeah, we were pretty happy about that. Yeah, because if we didn't have internet, that would have been
a different kind of day. Yeah, a different kind of day.
Yeah,
sad face everywhere.
Why do we have this show? We're just bantering on here, but.
That's what you taught me to do. You taught me to do a warm open. It's a warm open. Bore people to death. And then if they've stuck in by minute four and a half, they really do want to hear what you have to say. I do wish
hear about this. Yeah.
I do wish, though, I'm just gonna say, I do wish that I could get a photograph and actually broadcast it to anyone who's listening. The roof, the ceiling where you are broadcasting from. Is obscene that is like, it's like the water damage or whatever. Do you know any good plumbers or anything? Do you know anyone that could?
It's a roofing thing.
Okay.
The owner of the property is supposed to be fixing it. We don't own our shop, so yeah, it's got a little bit of some ceiling tile damage.
It's delightful. Really, look, as the one that's sagging doesn't fall on your head, we're good. If suddenly, I mean, do you see that? That
I think I'm okay.
OSHA. Yeah. I should call OSHA. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's styrofoam. It's all good, but it's, you know, knowing me, I think this building was built pre asbestos ball elimination. So it's probably full of asbestos. So
just best to just leave it where it is and look away. Okay.
Don't even touch it.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right.
This is good if you just leave it alone.
Right. I know. Isn't that true about most things?
Don't make the fibers friable and floating in the air. But anyway, why are we doing this thing? So with this turn of the weather, because hello, it's winter now. We got snow in the mountains and cold weather. And I know I've been bundling up and wearing gloves and wearing my poofy jacket. We thought we'd talk about furnaces. So, and just generally speaking, heating your home, some things that you can do. I know we talk a lot about this, but hey, it's that time of year and everybody's, you know, doing something and living in the mountains. Most of us have alternative forms of heat also. So I thought we'd kind of dip into some of the alternative forms of heat, because when you do have a power outage, your furnace won't come on. So you got to have something to back it up, either a generator or something, or a wood stove or a gas stove or something. So first of all, let's kind of talk about furnaces and what you should be doing. Hopefully you've already done this, but just in case you haven't, one of the first things I always tell people to do, leading into the heating or cooling system, is turn their system on just to make sure it works. Because we typically have a shoulder season. We didn't have much of a shoulder season this year where you're not really using either the furnace or the air conditioning. It kind of like rolled right into cold. But turn it on, make sure the thing actually fires up, because as it sits over the summertime, something may have happened to it. So you want to just do that. Next thing, obviously, we say this a lot, but replace those filters. I can't tell you how important that is. I can't tell you how many times we've gone out to houses that have cracked heat exchangers because people forget or don't bother to clean their filter. And if they had taken care of and cleaned their filter, they probably wouldn't have to replace their furnace for another 5 or 10 years if they had just done that one simple thing. And that's any homeowner can do that. Plus it helps your air quality. Plus it keeps, makes the system more efficient. I mean, there's just so many benefits, and it literally costs you a couple bucks a month for a filter. So just check them at least monthly, replace them as needed. If you can't see through it, if you've got a big layer of stuff on it, replace it. They go into, you know, I got a checklist, and it kind of goes into a little bit more detail. Some of the stuff, you know, I'll kind of hit on it, but really you should have a professional do this if you're not a professional. But, you know, check the blower, make sure the blower actually, you know, turns on. You can do that by just turning the fan on your thermostat, make sure that pops on. That's one thing that we do during a tune-up. First thing we do is we go and turn the fan on just to make sure the thermostat's communicating with the furnace.
Right, right.
That's the first thing we check. And then it allows us to check some other things. If it doesn't come on, there's a door for the furnace on the blower that there's actually a switch in there. There's what's called a blower door switch. And if that door is open a little bit, the switch will go off and the blower won't come on. That's a good thing to know for a lot of people out there. The reason why that's put there is because you don't want to be pulling in carbon monoxide from the furnace as it burns and going to the house. So that's a safety device to make sure that that door is closed so we can keep the air separate, the house air separate from the other airs, either the garage or the attic, and where the fire is actually being burned, where the fuel is being burned. If you see somebody has taped over that blower door switch, which, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that.
Really?
You know,
why would people? I mean, that just seems like an odd thing.
It solves the problem. It fixes the problem. So it's one of those things where some handyman or something gets the wise idea, like, oh, if the door's a little janky and if I put tape over this, it'll make the furnace come on. It's there for a reason. It's not there to be difficult. It's there to make sure you don't get asphyxiated or get pollutants from the attic or garage into your home. So make sure it's not taped open. Check your vents. Make sure your vents are working, open, cleaned. Check the exhaust. That's one thing that we always do on a furnace inspection or safety inspections. We make sure that the furnace is actually venting properly. Most modern furnaces have pressure switches on them that will turn the system off if it's not. But some of the older ones, really older ones, don't have great switches, or I've seen safety switches wired open too. So you want to make sure the vent's working or the exhaust is working, because that's what actually takes the byproducts combustions out of the house. You don't want that stuff in the house, because that carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, water vapor, and trace elements from burning fuel. So check the exhaust, make sure it's working. And one way you can do that is if you feel heat coming out of it, it's not going up the chimney. We'll go so far as we've got a little smoke generator that it can tell us if the air is actually going up the chimney. So we've got a little tool that we use. This is really important. Around any of your gas burning appliances, move the flammable substances away from them. Do not store paint next to it. Do not store any papers. I've seen houses where paint right up against the water heater, right up against the furnace. I had one instance in a job many years ago in an apartment building where this guy had an old 60s pickup truck, didn't have a gas can on it, and he had a rag in it parked right next to the furnace. Guess what happened? The rag wicked up the fuel from the gas tank and caught the building on fire, right?
That's like Murphy's Law in action. Yeah. Like, you don't get any more than that. That's
it was crazy. Literally 12 inches away from the fire in this rag. I'm like, dude. Anyway, yikes. You know, there is a certain Darwin Award on that one. But make sure there's no flammable substances around gas burning appliances, because they will ignite. We've done a lot to make them safer, but you just don't want to risk it. And last thing is turn it on. So a couple other things you want to check too. So alternative heating sources. I have a gas fireplace in our house. It's originally we just put it in for ambiance. My wife really likes a fire. I do too. And the heat from a fireplace is much different than the heat from central heat. So you just feel more toasty. And we were burning that thing all Sunday. It was pretty nice. But you want to make sure that that's actually working. So if you've got a direct vent fireplace, go outside and make sure it's actually venting and make sure air is coming in. Check your the flames in your fireplace. Make sure they're nice and blue at the base and not candling too bad, because that means they're not getting enough air or there's too much debris in, in it. So you just you can kind of do a visual inspection on those things. What was the other thing? If you haven't turned it on yet, you know, now's the time to turn the pylon on, light the pylon on that thing. The other thing, if you've got a wood burning fireplace, and hopefully, you know, if you've already stoked it up, hopefully you've had somebody out to sweep the chimney, sweep that chimney clean. Cause I've talked about our little experience when we first moved up here, not knowing much about wood burning fireplace, wood stoves. And when you move from the city to the country, you learn a few things. Those little creosote getting rid of logs don't really work. And we had a little chimney fire in the house, and
I remember, and Betty was very embarrassed because the person that came out to do it to help knew that you should have known better. Like, it was just kind of a funny little.
Well, ironically, she grew up with him in the Bay Area, so
right.
He happened to be a volunteer fireman. She's like, "Tommy, hi." They hadn't seen each other in years. She didn't know he was up here.
It's like, fun to know
their
those things.
Were friends, and they played soccer together.
So look how things turned out for me. I married the world's smartest man. Dude. Yeah, there we go. Oh my gosh, how funny.
So I got a little chastised about that one because I should have known better, because this is what I do, but you know, I didn't know. So
can we talk about those creosote? I'm going to say the wrong word, but those logs, right? So yeah. I know that that those get sold primarily for traditional fireplace versus I think there's actually even some things you're not supposed to burn in your wood burning stove, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to use one of those logs, like the clean logs, in your fireplace, they really do not do what they say they're supposed to do, right? I mean, that's our feeling across the board, right?
All I can speak of is my anecdotal experience.
Okay. Anecdotal. Okay. Did not work.
It literally, my chimney literally caught on fire.
Okay.
I had flames shooting out of.
So from a personal standpoint, you would not go and put those in your cart at the store. You would not go that route. You would have your chimney cleaned instead.
I would have it cleaned. And, you know, I used to do it myself when I was in my...
when you were a young person.
Early 30s. Yes. Yeah. And my 50s, actually in my 40s, I stopped doing it just because I started getting scared of falling and realizing that the $150 or $200 or $250 that I spent on cleaning the chimney once a season was a lot cheaper than me going to the hospital for months on end, or even just breaking a leg. You know, if I'm laid up, my time's worth a lot more than that. You know, it's worth hiring somebody to take care of that. Let alone, I know somebody that was doing that and got really hurt, laid up for like 6 months in rehab, the whole bit. And it was a wake up call for me to realize that, I'm not young anymore. And when I break stuff, it lays me up for a long time. So hire somebody. And there's a lot of good, we have a lot of good companies up in the area because that's what they do, right? I mean, we got a lot of wood burning stoves up here. So hire somebody. And also, not only that, but when you have a professional come in, they know what to look for.
Right.
So they're going to be able to see things that maybe you don't. So maybe you do like to sweep the chimney, but probably a good idea is to maybe, once every couple years to hire somebody to come in. Because somebody that does this, there's a lot to be said about somebody that does it 5 to 10 times a day compared to you doing it once every year. They're going to see a lot more things out in the field and be able to tell if there's something that's potentially dangerous. Because wood stoves, you're burning something. Anytime you burn something, you have the potential for carbon monoxide. And carbon monoxide is a toxic, poisonous gas, and it can kill you. I was just talking to an applicant yesterday who almost died from it. He had to be hospitalized because they sunk him into a pump tank and they didn't follow OSHA guidelines, and the guys passed out, and they more fortunately were able to get him out of there. But he came, the doctor said 2 to 4 more minutes and he would have died. So carbon monoxide is, and this is literally just a conversation I had with a guy yesterday. So it's very, very dangerous. So it's not something you want to mess around with. So any gas burning appliance, you want to kind of have, check that every once in a while. Even if you do it yourself, every once in a while have somebody come and take a look at it. Even if you do it, like maintain your own furnace, for $49.79, whatever it is, ours are really cheap. They're only $49. We'll come out and actually make sure that things are working safely.
So let's talk about that for just 1 minute. So, yeah. So right now, cause that was my question I was going to get to. I was going to push you in the direction. So good job. You got there first. So
no
segue. By accident. So
total accident.
So here we are in, and like, yes, we didn't have like the traditional shoulder season yet. Right. But ABT is not at this particular moment, just like jam packed full of heating problems, you know, heating calls, right?
Surprisingly not. Yeah.
Okay. So now would be.
I just had a meeting with my HVAC manager this morning, and I'm like, what are our demand call situation? She's like, it's kind of light right now.
It's manageable. So now would be a good time, right? To kind of consider having ABT come out, because you're also going to honor like a cool price that you just mentioned. What was it?
Yeah. So we have specials that go on periodically. Right now it's $49 because we're not crazy busy right now. So.
And what happens for that $49? What do they do?
We come out and check. We check the flue to make sure it's fluing correctly. We check the heat exchanger and make sure it's not cracked. So what the flue exchanger does is it exchanges the heat from the fire to the house air. But you want to make sure those two airs are separate at all times, because once that heat exchanger is cracked or breached, now you have the potential for carbon monoxide to go into your house. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen that.
Okay.
We also check and make sure the blower is working. We make sure the coil is working on the air conditioning. I know it's ironic. Why are we checking that? It's a system. I mean, one of the first things the doctor does when you go into the doctor's office is they check your blood pressure and weigh you before they do anything else, regardless if you've got a broken leg or the flu, right? We do the same thing. We want to look at the system as entirety. So we make sure the air conditioner is functioning as well. And then we go through and just do a complete check out of everything, making sure everything's working properly. But the big ones are making sure the thing's exhausting correctly, making sure the heat exchanger is intact, making sure the coil's in good shape. And then obviously we go through the entire system and make sure everything else is working.
Like really like a safety, just a safety check before you end up in the season.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It takes about 45 minutes to an hour. And make sure everything's working right. So yeah. And if something that you do on a periodically basis yourself, it's not a bad idea to have somebody that actually goes out. My guys will do 5 a day. So they see a ton of stuff, so they can actually tell if something's not working the way it's supposed to. So yeah.
And could save like an intense repair bill later, right? Like, I mean, honestly, I think about the cracked heat exchanger. If I have you guys come out and take a look at something, and you can kind of go, hey, if we don't do this right now, this is going to lead to the cracked heat exchanger. That's going to end up being something I don't want to deal with in December when it's 17 degrees out and you guys are booked for 2 weeks solid.
It's another reason why we check the coil. Cause if the coil is impacted with dust and stuff,
which happens,
and pinches on the airflow. And then ironically, the thing that kills a furnace is heat.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough airflow going over the heat exchanger, it gets too hot, and that's what cracks them. I know it's kind of counterintuitive, and we're trying to heat stuff, but it's a balancing act. If it gets too hot, the metal starts to fatigue. And actually, I've seen holes literally burn through heat exchangers, big holes, like the size of a quarter. And then I've seen clamshell, which is two pieces of metal welded together, separate, just completely fall apart. Because of heat, right at the base of the burner, right where the burner hits the metal. So, it's heat. So we check a lot of those things. Yeah.
So let's scare people into submission. Okay. Let's get them to call ABT, because I really don't want anyone to have any problems this
you're
winter.
You're dealing with fuel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with fire, fire's dangerous. Right. Whether you burn the house down or you die from asphyxiation. So yeah.
You didn't have to do that part, the asphyxiation. Yeah. So here we go. So to take advantage of this amazing heating safety inspection for $49, right? Which is amazing.
Yes.
Hit up ABT. It's 530-230-9092. 530-230-9092. You can
Let us know you heard this on the radio, because it's not something we normally do. So
okay, just for you guys. And then you can catch us online at easyasabt.com. Check us on our Facebook page. We are literally running over time, so I'm gonna say, Andrew, take us out.
Thanks for listening to us, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.